Hello and welcome to Leaning Into Light's featured interview for March 2020. This is one of our free recordings to support you, our listeners, to lean into light, which means choosing to feel good in life, choosing to be healthy, feel well, be the kind of person you want to be over staying in the pain, staying in the darkness of life. So leaning into light, grab a pen, pause if you need to, so you can take notes. And I am Jessica Rios. I'm the founder of Leaning Into Light, and I'm so delighted to have our guests here today. We've got Melanie and Dave McDonald. Welcome, Melanie and Dave.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity to have this conversation with you.
So you're so welcome. So Melanie is a clinic Ayurvedic specialist who has been practicing herbs her entire adult life. She's a 27-year yogi, oh my word, and has three kids who she homeschools beautifully. And if you want to dive in more to connect with her, you can go to www.ayurvedicwellness.org. And Dave, Melanie's husband, Dave McDonald, is sales director for West Coast Wine Partners, and they live in wine country, California. How we met, Dave and Melanie and I, we met through our children, through the joy of our children. And I believe that I did a postpartum yoga class with you, Melanie, in the early days of my mothering journey. And I've always been deeply touched by your, both of you, your presence, your intelligence, your wisdom, your humor, you're really good people. And so I'm, again, very delighted to have you here on this conversation. And I didn't even mention the title yet. So this is a conversation about cross-country family adventure. And I just want to mention at the beginning of this call that, you know, we're human. There may be a kid who pokes in here. That happens. And I have a cough. And if I cough, it's just because I'm human and sometimes I have a cough. So, but we're going to try to zoom through this for all of you listening and be thorough and also succinct. So thanks for being with us. So back to you, Melanie and Dave. You're a family of five and you homeschool, which is legal in California and an awesome journey. I want to ask to begin, what was the inspiration for your trip? What led you to embark on this great adventure you took?
Well, it started in 2015. It started in 2014 when we were planning, to jump in our minivan and zoom straight across the country as quickly as we could to get to the East Coast to visit, Melanie's grandmother for her 90th birthday. Mm. But, as we were planning that trip, I accepted a job, that really didn't, you know, mesh well, the start time of the job and everything else mesh well with, embarking on a, you know, a several week, you know, trip. So, I had some discussions with my future employer at that time about the prospects of expanding the trip as opposed to canceling it and, including work stops along the way and on the way back. And, being a sales director for a winery that involves, you know, in different cities across the country, you know, meeting with, wine distributors and wine retailers. So they love the idea. So we decided to rent an RV and give it a shot.
Well, and before that, we spent, 6 months to a year discovering that there was something called full-time families, that families were on the road doing road schooling. And I hadn't known anything about this. So I sort of became obsessed with all these different sites and we couldn't stop thinking about it. And so we knew that that's what we were going to do. So that was our first trip. And then fast forward.
Yeah.
2017.
Yeah.
We took it on the road 14 months. And that
14
was
months. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Well, it's really gorgeous that you actually have an intersection between your paid work life that you do, Dave, and the homeschooling journey, because that's a very fortunate intersection that doesn't occur for many homeschool families. So I'm like clapping.
Yeah,
here.
You know, we're very fortunate that homeschooling and road schooling you know, dovetailed with the type of work that I do. And it's not, you know, it's a challenge for a lot of people that don't have, you know, work that takes them on the road to do this, especially for the duration, the amount of time that we've done it. So yeah, it's a blessing that we have that ability, and the type of work that I do just seems to blend well with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pretty seamless.
Yeah. So for 14 months, so you did this trip in your RV with your three kids and all the stuff you needed. What led you to choose the destinations you chose? How did you do the mapping of where you would go on this trip?
You know, Dave mostly mapped it out based on meetings he'd have, and then we left room to veer off and add things as we went. And we also had an idea of something everybody wanted to see. So we tried to blend those three, and Dave really, he was the mapper. So, and I got to just, when we stopped in the city, Dave, if he was doing work, I would figure out what does that city have to offer? What should we do? And I would take the kids out and we'd go explore. So that was a pretty amazing part. And then sometimes Dave was, you know, he's able to be a part of it. But how'd you figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I took into account major destinations that were important to, my business, and that provided the outer framework for the trip. And then within, in between those stops, and those were places like, you know, Texas and, the Mid-Atlantic and, New York and New England and Illinois, Colorado, places like that were the main stops. And then in between, I was able to, you know, make appointments with, distributors and retailers. And so once we got the general idea of the map, then we started, you know, figuring out timing, and the amount of time it would take to travel from place to place, and whether or not there were places, i.e. national parks or other, points of interest that we wanted to integrate into the trip, you know, over the weekends and such. Mm. And so from there, I would say, of the recreational time that I got to be a part of, I would say, you know, half of it was planned out, and the other half was when we, you know, on our way into an area, we would, you know, talk as a family and say, okay, hey, we're heading into, you know, to Austin, Texas. Let's mm-hmm. research what Austin has to offer, and, you know, start, you know, poking around on the internet and talking to friends and taking recommendations, and then we kind of filled out the rest kind of on the fly.
And how fun. I mean, it sounds to me like a nice balance to have about half planned out, and then to be, like you say, you know, going into a new city and going, okay, what are we going to do? Like, as a team, really deciding what was going to happen then. Did that feel like a good balance to you?
It did. And we, this time, opposed to the first kind of cross-country trip, we took a lot of back roads when we could, so that allowed that opportunity to have certain experiences come up that we didn't plan. Mm. And that made a lot of rich experience, and just us being together and experiencing a town we didn't know existed, and the community that we found on the road, just in terms of meeting people and how friendly everybody was so fulfilling and satisfying, and we didn't expect that. So that was an added part that we got to experience together. Yeah.
And almost mandatory, you know, piece of this for just overall, you know, personal satisfaction is you have to integrate things other than interstate highways into your trip. Mm-hmm. You'll find if you stay on the interstate the whole time, it's a cultural, I'm not going to call it a cultural void. It is its own culture, but it's just a different experience than that state highway that's just, 10 miles away that you could be driving on, and you might have to drive a little bit slower, but it's just, it's so much more rewarding. It's so much more beautiful to take, lesser roads.
Yes, absolutely. Great point. And I'm glad you shared that with listeners. So give us an idea where, so you live in California, where did you head first? What state or park or region? Can you give us a little bit of a picture of that first stop?
Go ahead.
Well, we went southeast, went down through Arizona and over to New Mexico and Texas. So we started down that loop, right? And went all the way over to Alabama.
Well, the first stop, though, well, having small kids, the first stop was about 20 minutes of the trip.
And it was about 2 hours after that. So we learned that what we eat, what we do in a day, like a good day, is 5 hours. And so it seems like we don't get very far, but that's factored in. But Grand Canyon was the big first boom. And we took a train ride into the canyon, or to the canyon, and we got to just see some pretty amazing.
On the southern edge of Grand Canyon National Park, there's a town in Arizona called Williams. And from Williams, you can take a really nice train ride. It's about a 2 hour train ride.
Yeah, and didn't we not know about that till we came along and said, "Oh, Williams, this is the town outside Grand Canyon."
Yeah,
and one thing led to another, so it was an experience like that that we hadn't expected.
Yeah,
and it was just amazing.
Yeah, and the train takes you right into the center of the park, the South Rim Park, and it gives you a couple of hours, I think 2 or 3 hours in the park to roam about, take a small hike.
We do the Junior Ranger program. Was a fun way for the kids to get involved in a different way.
Yeah,
where they have to. You know, they get a booklet and they answer some questions and we explore around. And so that kind of incorporates, you know, some road schooling in.
Yep.
Excellent tip for families, the Junior Ranger program. And so many families have never been to the Grand Canyon, and what a strikingly stunning and powerful place. So great tip with the train from Williams. So I want to tuck in here a little question about just how many days was like the first place where, say, if you were a cube of butter on your kitchen counter, like how long did it take you to soften? You know, how long was it? 3 days? Was it 10? Where you reached the first point where you were like, "Oh, this is nice."
You know,
you like into the trip.
I have an opinion on that. I think we both have different ideas on that. But
great.
Go ahead, Melanie.
Great.
Yeah, you know, I think it has a lot of layers, but I'll summarize it. So when we first embarked on the road, there was a mourning of a house for a moment. And even though we both have a lot of ideas of why we did it, because there's other ideas we haven't mentioned, one big thing was to have more outside time just right there, not have to go find it, and less walls, and just have the children have more of that experience all the time. So I knew what I wanted to experience, but right away there was a lot of other things that got in the way, like getting used to having just a tank full of water, or just all the pieces of living in the RV. And it's a small RV. It's just a converted sprinter. But anyway, so we had to learn a lot of those things that ended up being positive, because it taught us to have to conserve. Mm-hmm. Have to conserve water, have to experience life in a very simple way, in a simple space with less stuff, less distraction, and more just right in each other's space.
So I think, you know what Melanie's saying is that, the adjusting to the life in the motorhome kind of was a distraction from perhaps the melting that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, but for me, the driver, the predominant driver on the trip, that cube of butter started melting kind of when we left California state line.
Well, we had a moment where we looked at each other and we felt really free.
Yes.
We just felt so liberated.
Yes.
So even just driving away from the house, actually, we had a moment of feeling liberated. So it was interwoven with that and adjusting. And then was it about a week? I mean, for me, maybe a couple weeks in, where it was stopped feeling like, oh, we're just doing this vacation and we're doing this lifestyle for a bit. And then things just felt ingrained as simpler, just as how it was. And when we came to a space, we took it in real time. And that rawness just felt so alive to me.
Mm.
And it felt like something I became addicted to, just feeling life in real time.
Yeah. And one last thing, Jessica, which is, you know, there was another thing for me, like it was that melting leaving California was more about kind of like the pace of California we noticed leaving and coming back. It's just, yep. this is a very kinetic state, comparatively to, you know, the most of the rest of the country.
Yep.
And so from a driving standpoint, it was just so much lighter to be behind the wheel, outside of California. But
yes.
One thing that prevented me from melting too quickly was the fact that, you know, I had, you know, dozens of objectives professionally that, you know, and, sitting up in the driver's seat, you know, with my phone headset on and, you know, taking conference calls and, you know, business calls. So there, you know, that will prevent melting.
That was part of the dance. Yeah. And it's, you know, for listeners who are in California, we know this, the pace of California, it's fast. And we're kind of used to it. And that's kind of awful because it's not really, we could go into an entire conversation about this, right? But I love hearing you in the moment when you looked at each other and you were like, oh, this is really good. And I just want to take a moment because I don't like to wait to acknowledge people. You guys are amazing for doing this trip, for giving yourselves the space and being willing to actually step out of the comfortable life in a house and, you know, and say, I know there's something different. So I want to acknowledge you both for that. So from there, if we kind of back up a bit and we look down, say we go a little bit into outer space, you know, and we look down at the continent of North America and we look at your map, can you give us a general overview of your trip, a general map of the route you took so we can see it in our minds?
Sure. It was essentially a counterclockwise loop, starting in, you know, Northern California, going south towards Southern California, making our way across the southern states, as far as, Mississippi and Alabama, and then a slight bit north, at a certain point, Melanie and the kids, veered off on their own to, visit, a special family location where I had some other business to attend to. So we were a couple states apart for a week or so, and then we rendezvoused back together, and then headed up the eastern seaboard, to Maine, and then came back down into Ohio and started making our way across the central part of the country, right across the middle, to Colorado. And then we headed north, up through, Wyoming, Montana, into British Columbia, and then back down through, did we go through Washington and Oregon to get back?
Through Idaho and Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, and then we came back down through Washington and Oregon, back down into California.
Mm. Whew, wow, big trip. Lots of varieties in terms of the geographies and the cultures your kids would see. Let's talk about some of the highlights of your trip. So what was one of the places you visited? Just one. I know there were many, but that really stood out. That was great for the kids and for the two of you.
Yeah.
I think what stood out, I mean, you have to put them in two categories.
Okay.
I think at least we kind of discovered that along the trip at one point. There are things that we think are good for the kids that we think eventually will be good for them to have experienced. And then there's things that are just straight up fun for them.
One that we all connected with. I'm like, this is great.
Right. And, you know, that first group of items, I think that Washington, D.C. was tremendous.
Mm.
We were able to take, a couple days to visit some museums and such there. The Smithsonian, complex and then from a more natural standpoint, Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, Carlsbad Caverns. What's that?
Oh, there were so many amazing things. I think there was this moment when we were in Buffalo, New York, and we it was my birthday, and we had at that point been on the road so long, we were all kind of wary, and we thought, well, Niagara Falls is right there. We've never been to it, and we thought, well, should we go? You know, not knowing. And then we went, and being in an RV, we parked pretty far away, and we had our bikes, and we didn't know what a great time we would have getting off, getting on those bikes and getting to go through the trails and winding along so much more of the Niagara Falls that you don't see usually unless you take a long walk near it. So we got to ride our bikes, decided to do the boat, went under the falls, and then we kept riding. We went into, we went to lunch somewhere, but we were just on our bikes for that day with that experience. And that's something that all of us got something so much out of, you know, immediately at the time.
Yeah.
Where Dave was talking about like Washington, D.C., it was amazing. But after a long day of trying to fit so much in, it was a different type of experience that was planned.
Yeah.
You know, so there's these two.
Well, yeah, the other, pieces. Yeah, the other category I was referring to were things like, you know, we had never done. You know, there's plenty of opportunities in our hometown, but sometimes you have to leave your hometown to realize what you have in your hometown.
Yes.
And, and you know, things like we did an escape room. You know, right. You know, we just, in some random, you know, shopping mall that was an escape room, like, yeah, should we try that out? And we just had a ball doing that.
Okay, what's that? What's an escape room?
Oh, it's like, you kind of get transported into, you know, a Mission Impossible, you know, set where you're kind of locked in a room with a bunch of props, and you're given clues. And you have to solve riddles and unlock, you know, locks, and
you have a certain amount of time.
You have an hour to get through it, and you know, and you have to solve the ultimate riddle and get to the final, you know, lock. And
you know, okay,
it's just something like that. But that's not necessarily, you know, road trip relevant. But
But at home, I think the thing is we don't seek out to do those things, or we don't go to seek out that entertainment, where when we're on the road, we find those things that we want to keep coming together for these experiences, and it just naturally happens because we're in that mode. And
So, it reminds me of when we move to a new place, our eyes are open and we're at the cafes looking at the flyers and the bulletin boards. But when we've been somewhere for a while, we really get kind of stagnant and used to the same places we go to and the same things we do. So what I love about your trip is you lifted all that up. You pulled all the roots up and you said, we're going for this adventure. And I love what you're sharing about the places that stood out and some of the random surprises that greeted you. Were there...
Go ahead, Dave. If I may add one more thing, just the other piece that's really relevant to like road... To you know, RVing that was key to you know, keeping the kids, you know, not keeping them entertained, but ways for them to, you know, to kind of grow is researching where you're going to park is a big piece of this trip, you know, because you have so many ways you can go about doing that, and one of them is, you know, you can choose kind of a brand of RV park and kind of go from one to the next, like a KOA, which, you know, we used frequently. Or there's great independent RV parks, but in those RV parks, you know, if you're traveling for a long time, like we were, it's nice to get to a place where you're going to be parked for a number of days and you can just take a breath and just relax and, you know, let the kids ride their bikes. So we found this RV park in, what was the one that had all the bike trails and the bike?
Normandy Farms.
Up in.
Oh, it was in Boston.
Outside of Boston. Right. And they had this great bike park with like, you know, dirt ramps and tracks. And they had, a disc golf course. So we taught the kids how to play disc golf. And they had swimming pools and all sorts of things. So it was almost like a mini vacation, just. And for us, for me, especially, you know, for me, I speak for driving, it was just a great place to just take a deep exhale. But the kids were thrilled because there was just so much to do. So planning your staying is big. Some people boondock, which means you're not staying, you're paying for a place to stay. You're just parking on the side of the road in random places. Having experimented with that.
Yeah, I mean, we just thought that was going to be what we really wanted to do, but having...
a family, it became apparent that what we needed and what they needed, you know, it was different on the road. And the RV parks became refreshing. We could do laundry, catch up on things. Yep. Kids could play.
Yeah.
So it was interesting how our perspective shifted.
And you have a better chance of meeting other families that are doing the same thing that you're doing when you're staying in those parks. We invariably did in every step of the way.
Great tip. I love it. Also,
Lots,
individuals who are not part of, So were there any spots that you visited or passed through that were just awful? And let's just stick to one, maybe two, but we know that America has a lot of variety in it. You know, places that were scary or places that humbled you or woke you up in any way.
Oh yeah. We definitely agree on this one. Okay. And we go back to our first trip in 2015 where we were, and I won't mention the name of the company that we used to find this, this place, but we had used a service that connected RVers with places they could park their RV. And we found, there was this family farm and it was marketed as like this great, you know, family farm, you can park here, no problem. You know, wake up in the morning and have fresh produce. And so we drove, I don't know, 20 miles in one direction through straight cornfields. And we got to this family, quote, family farm somewhere on the east, in the eastern U.S. And it was, you know, we felt like it was just the right setting for a bad movie, a B film, you know, B horror film. So we were parked there for about 5 minutes. I never turned the engine off. And then I think that night we parked in a Walmart parking lot for the night.
We did. And that is something that also on the road has to grow so much more than everyday life, is being really astute to how you feel intuitively. Does this feel good or not? Let's go. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melanie, you're so good at that already, but this gave you a chance to really engage it and recognize. And I think that your way of doing this trip and traveling like this keeps our senses engaged, right? Because when I'm just in my house for 3 weeks, I don't really need to use a ton of intuition because I know where the forks are and the toilet is, right? So, yeah.
But and, you know, there was no place that we had distaste for. You know, I mean, obviously the country's, you know, got, you know, so many micro cultures. And we, you know, we just experienced all of them for what they were and, you know, appreciated that it's all part of the, you know, this great country of ours. So,
We need to just take it all in as it was. And so I think we felt,
People were very nice and welcoming all over the country.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty wonderful to hear. So a little bit more personal of a question. You know, you're married, and there's not one marriage that's easy that I've ever heard of or know of. Were there any, you know, tough spots along the way in terms of how you work together that might be helpful for people to hear about who are listening, who are, you know, charting out their own journey of being a team on the road? You know, was it always smooth, or did you hit some rough patches?
Everything was perfectly smooth. Next question.
Yes.
Okay. A broader answer of this is we all feel that in that small space, when something comes up, you can't just go to another room. You can't just deal with it later. Everything has to happen kind of right then, whether it's, you know what, let's just separate and then come back together, but you don't really have far to go. So you have to kind of address it even when you don't want to. And so things became, were addressed immediately rather than holding on to them, I think, mostly, right? Would you say?
Yeah, we found there was, you know, actually once we got in the groove that there was just greater harmony because, you know, there was no use in discord because, you know, there was no way to escape it. You know, you couldn't, you know.
There's no place to go. So just find the way to have peace.
But we did have you know, the driver's seat and the passenger seat were kind of like the, you know, the parental, you know, conference room. And you know, we have a little bit of a a sheet that we can hang down in between that ERV so that we can, you know, have discussions, you know, that are, you know, ours and, you know, that we're not sharing it with the kids. And, you know, they could be listening to music or such in the back. And so we could work things out if they needed to be worked out.
Great. Yeah. And, you know, we need to remember that. And I think many people don't ever really land on this, but conflict is actually human. So, you know, all the fairy tales that many of us grew up with, you know, they always get along and he brings her flowers every week and, you know, they're just not real. And conflict is human and it's how you deal with it. So bless you for being parents who, you know, couldn't send the problems out the window when they arose because you were in an RV together and you dealt with them. And I love imagining children who get treated that way. What were some of the most helpful ways you got through this big adventure that might be useful for others to know who are considering such a trip? You mentioned the sheet that you put down behind the two of you and then you could have your conference in the front. What else comes to mind? Did you have a sheet in the back?
Oh, I think you better talk to a sheet in the back that goes around. Okay. Wait, let's see here. What other?
I would say that, you know, finding time to finding time to be alone. Are you talking about the parental thing or just as families in general?
Just anything that really got you through this trip, any way you really, any tool or person or practice you used to get you through this, because it's a big adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, when things felt like maybe it a little wound up where this was too much or I need a break from this, what we're doing, it was the being in nature that continued to heal every time. And when I think back to that period of time on the road, I found that I didn't have my anxiety or touch of, you know, depression and these things that I was more used to in a house weren't there. And I was telling a friend and she said, well, you know, did you ever think it was just being in nature itself? And in addition to having a much smaller space to keep up, not having a big house to deal with, there's all those pieces, but also just being in nature reset. So when things got too much, I found when we were, oh, there's a lake, we go, or we go on a walk or whatever it was, everybody just kind of dropped back into themselves and felt good. And I don't know. I'm simplifying.
Yeah, it, and I think that, you know, that kind of goes for almost anybody, anywhere, you know, living in a home or living on the road, you know, just, you know, obviously reconnecting with nature wherever it is was a big deal. Other than that, you know, I could go into a long, you know, sermon here about, you know, tools that you need to have in an RV and little tricks and tools of that trade. But I think that's probably best saved for another segment.
Yep. And I just want to say, you know, Melanie, I witnessed you have profoundly beautiful wisdom in you. And I witnessed your Instagram feed when you were on this trip and it was just these gorgeous photos and your intention wasn't to post a gorgeous photo, but it was you doing yoga. And girlfriend, 27 years of dedicated yoga. And you see it, you know, if I just walked down the street and looked at you, I'd be like, wow, she's really in her body. And you are. And you made it a point to get out on the rocks or to get out wherever. And this was a picture of you. It wasn't you and all the kids climbing all over you. It was you. And I think when a mama can prioritize herself like that and say, I'm going to get into my body. I'm going to go upside down. I'm going to do a whatever kind of pose, that really seemed to ground you also.
You know, yeah, thanks for saying that, because just pointing that out, that is a big part of it that I momentarily forgot, but I was so inspired being out in those spaces and I felt so drawn because my art is putting my body in certain ways. So, and that I was inspired by the nature and the scenery. And so the kids always knew, like, oh, mama's doing that. And And then they got used to like, okay, we're going to take a picture of her. So I was inspired by this, by the spaces we were in. And I find the difference is when I'm not in those places, I'm not necessarily doing those things in that way. I'm just doing my yoga practice on my mat. So it was bringing it into that yoga practice out into nature that way was pretty profound for me. Yeah, and very grounding, brought me back to myself in maybe more ways than I did on the road than, well, no, it carried over. It carried over to now, the way we're living. All those things we learned on the road, I found, have changed us, and we operate in life a little differently. So that was, it was a nice experience in that way, too.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, please, go ahead.
Nope, you're...
You know, I'm a, for me, one of the biggest, like on that note, one of the biggest challenges for me is that, I'm an avid, basketball player, and I play, you know, many times a week, 5-6 times a week. And once we pull out of the driveway, I do personally have a little, my heart sinks a little bit because it's very challenging to find a you know, adult basketball games to play in on the road. And I've gotten lucky and fortunate in many cities to tune into that, but you know, most of the RV parks, you know, have a basketball hoop, so it gives me a chance to, you know, play with you know, play with the kids more and things like that. But you know, if there's a certain activity or exercise that you do, you know, think about that ahead of time and try to plan it out. If it's that important to you to kind of keep your physical rhythm going, it's going to require, planning.
I love that. Excellent dose of tips in there from both of you on keeping it going. So to close, and Melanie, you did a little bit of segueing into this already, you know, as you back way up and just look back at this trip. And how long ago did you get back? Was it 8 months ago? Was it
September?
Yes, end of September.
End of September.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So just like 6 months ago. What do you see when you look back as far as how did this adventure enhance your lives as a family, as a couple, as individuals? What are the big ways that it really gifted you to take this adventure?
Oh, I mean, I think it's easy. It's perspective, right? I mean, you know, you can spend your whole life in a place, you know, a very, you know, Northern California's got so many blessings, right? Weather, the weather being the number one, I think, and, you know, and, you know, economically, you know, healthy here. And you go around the country and you really learn to count your blessings. So, that's one thing. I think the other is, for us as a family and for our children, it gives them perspective on, you know, just how varied and how just diverse this country is. And it's really something you can't read about. You can't see it, you know, on the news. You can't read it in the newspaper. You have to see it. And so we feel fortunate to be able to allow our kids to see the country through, you know, their own two eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to add to that. One thing that brought me so much joy is when we've been home, when I hear them playing and making up some story and they're talking about, you know, places we've been are within their story, like they're some critters in Carlsbad Cavern or, oh no, I live in, I don't know, just, you know, random places.
Gettysburg.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then for me personally, I find that I feel more spacious now than I did before, where so many things that seemed so important to fill my time, those things when we came back didn't seep in right away, and I felt more available and more present and more wanting to connect with people like we did when we were on the road. That was something that stayed with me.
I'm gonna echo that. When you get back, it really you know what you value when you come back home. You know what's important, and you're able to kind of shed some of the habits and, you know, human creature habits that you get involved in that that may not, you know, pay you the type of dividend that, you know, connecting with, truly connecting with friends and spending quality time with family and seeing what your own backyard has to offer, as opposed to getting, you know, hung up in, you know, just less fulfilling endeavors.
Mm. And that has so much to do with perspective, just really being able to see, as you both said, you know, to see what's out there, to be in it. And yeah, really, really beautiful. Well, once again, I just want to acknowledge the two of you for being amazing parents, getting your kids out on the road, letting them play in different geographies. And truly one of the great things about the USA is its geographies are so varied. There are so many cultures and tastes and flavors. So once again, really good work, the two of you. And I thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're getting ready to go on another little adventure now, and you took the time to share with us today for all the families out there who might want to do something like you, and a lot of them do. So I really commend you. Well, and thank you so much.
If it, you know, if this is any sort of an endorsement for this lifestyle, we're loading the last box out of our rented home, and we're embarking this evening for, yes, the next chapter. So we'll be on the road for at minimum another 6 or 8 months, you know, probably into wintertime again. So we'll see what happens.
Yes. And you're minimizing your belongings, which is an awesome thing to do. And you're, you know, you're homeschooling. I mean, what freedom it gives you. So once again, thank you both so much for taking the time to be with us. And listeners, thank you for being here and for exploring the possibility of getting out on the road, lifting up your roots and experiencing life from a different perspective, and giving your kids, if you have them, this incredible experience. If you have enjoyed this conversation today, please show love with somebody you know who might appreciate hearing about it. These are monthly interviews, and they're all on my blog at leaningintolight.com on our conversations page. And we aren't on social media, so please sign up for our newsletter, which goes out about once a month. And once again, thanks for valuing your life and choosing to lean into light.